And I am in debt to two brothers, Chad Donnelly and Bobby Valentine, for a lot of the material. We're going to open by looking at some scriptures and thinking about their implications to Emmanuel, which means God with us. By the way, on one of the songs we just sang, they spelled it with an I. And up here, I spelled it with an E. It just depends on which language you got it out of. Hebrew is with an I, and Roman, other Roman, it's with an E. They're not misspelled. They're the same word. Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, "For no word from God will ever fail." Now, those words take on a little bit more import when you know who's speaking them. That's Gabriel talking to Mary. Now, this is the same Gabriel who a little while earlier in the chapter talked to her relative, Zechariah. Now, interestingly enough, Zechariah asked almost the same question Mary did, but he got a very different response from Gabriel. Gabriel let Zechariah think about his response for 9 months worth of silence. But when Mary said, "Well, how am I supposed to know this?" Gabriel replied very kindly, "No word from the Lord will ever fail." Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel." Now you know that there's a 400 year gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Between Isaiah's even further back, but the word of the Lord didn't fail. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit." Isaiah 11:11. Now interestingly enough, if you read the genealogies in Matthew and Luke, you'll find that both mama and daddy can trace roots back to David. That's actually an interesting study in and of itself. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And we talked about that a little bit this morning in class. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Now, a lot of you were here when Brother Akins went through the book of Revelation, and we described those angels. And if you look in the book of Revelation at the description of those angels, you'll understand why the shepherds are terrified. Because it started with one, and then there was a bunch of them, and one of them was scary enough. John chapter 1, it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John 1, 9 and 10, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." Jump back to the Old Testament, Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And one of the fascinating things, of course, is that Gabriel was right. In Micah chapter 5 verse 2 we read, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." In Psalm 72, starting in verse 10, may the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. And then we're going to bounce back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Same chapter, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Matthew chapter 2, we read, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Yes, we are. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Luke chapter 1 again. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And the angel answered Mary, saying, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. But the angel said to them, that is the shepherds, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. What is the good news? You already heard it once this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. By the way, what they just did is a fireable offense. You leave the flock out in the field? That was what you were paid for. But you know what? When the angel of the Lord was done terrifying them, they thought they'd check it out. It seemed worthwhile to go check that out. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And again, we talked this morning already about the grace and truth of our Lord, who is a reasonable Lord. And without whose grace, none of us would be saved. We thank God for his indescribable gift. And of course, that gift is Jesus Christ. Now, the first page of the Old Testament tells us why the birth of Jesus is essential to biblical faith. Matthew quotes Isaiah from chapter 7, verse 14, where he says, they shall name him Emmanuel. Then Matthew explains the meaning of Emmanuel with his commentary saying that means God with us, just in case you didn't get it. Let me help you. God with us. Now, this is the Gospel of Matthew's doctrine of incarnation. That is to say, God coming to be with us. People normally go to John 1 when they're talking about incarnation. But incarnation, that is to say, God dwelling with us, is an important theme throughout the New Testament. And it's in fact how the New Testament ends as well. God with us is also one of the most prominent promises of the Old Testament. The Bible opens with humanity living with God in the garden, and then man sinned. And that sin had an effect on our relationships. Our relationships with God, with fellow humans, with ourselves, with the rest of creation. The biblical narrative begins with the creation of a space where God and created matter can be together. So Genesis chapter 2, we already see Emmanuel, God living with humans in the garden with all creation. And then when humanity rebelled in the person of Adam against God, humans were driven from the presence of God and from living with God. Now the rest of the story of the biblical narrative is the Creator God's rescue mission of humanity from a self-inflicted exile from the divine presence. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Salvation is not just a matter of forgiving sins. Forgiving sins is a necessary means to an end. But restoration of fellowship and communion with God is the goal of salvation. So the Exodus, a pattern of salvation in the Bible, it doesn't end with the Israelites going through the Red Sea and out of Egypt. And they did that by the power and grace of God. But Exodus ends with the building of the tabernacle so that God can dwell among His people. And so we read these words in Leviticus chapter 26, starting in verse 9. I will look with favor upon you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will maintain my covenant with you. You shall eat old grain long stored, and you shall have to clear out the old to make way for the new. I will place my dwelling in your midst, and I shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you will be my people. For I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be their slaves no more. I have broken the bars of your yoke and make you stand tall. The goal of salvation was God with us. God dwelling with the people. And that language in Leviticus there, I will walk among you, evokes the Garden of Eden where God walked with humanity in the very beginning. Thus the goal of Exodus is not realized in the crossing of the Red Sea, but in God living with us, the Emmanuel. Thus the goal of the new Exodus, that is the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus, is not just about the forgiveness of sins. Matthew just told us that his name will be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Matthew uses the Isaiah quote to explain what that means for the world, for sin drove us out of the dwelling presence of God. The removal of the sin restores us from the exile from God's presence, so that God can be with us. Throughout the Old Testament, God promises Israel, I am with you. Now the most burning hunger in the heart of David was to dwell in the presence of the Lord. David says, one day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. David says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord can be anywhere else. To which the Lord replies, do not fear, for I am with you. All of those things express the desire for Emmanuel, for God to be with us. The tabernacle, or the temple later, was the place where God chose to dwell with God's people. The whole purpose of creation was for the creatures to enjoy the glorious presence of our Creator. Matthew's Gospel on the first page of the New Testament taps into Israel's yearnings that God has in fact so loved us that He now lives with and among us. That's why in the middle of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with you." And the Gospel closes with, "I will be with you to the end of the age." Once again, pointing to Emmanuel. John's Gospel connects the incarnation explicitly with God's dwelling in the tabernacle and then later with the temple. Sin, the Word dwelled among us. Well, that's the word tabernacled among us, drawing directly from Exodus. And again, we find Emmanuel. The goal of salvation was not and is not getting rid of sin, although that is a huge and necessary step for which we praise the Lord that He gave us that opportunity. But the goal of salvation is God dwelling with us. Thus, the biblical narrative doesn't end with the cross. It doesn't end with the resurrection. The biblical narrative ends with God moving, like in Exodus, to live with us. The birth of Jesus, the incarnation of the Word, is essential to biblical faith, not only for the means of removing sin. It's essential because it's the goal of salvation, which is astonishing fulfillment of the wildest hopes of Israel. Emmanuel. It's not a name that was on Jesus' birth certificate. Emmanuel is Matthew's way of telling us that the birth of Jesus is our ultimate gift, because Jesus has restored in a radical manner what was lost in the garden. God loved us so much that He was willing to dwell with us. Emmanuel begins the Bible. Emmanuel is a theme throughout the Bible. Emmanuel is on the first page of the New Testament. Emmanuel is on the last page of the Bible. God with us. Would you bow with me for just a moment? Father, we thank You for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your efforts on our behalf to provide the means for forgiveness of sins so that we may once more have a relationship with You. We thank You for Your wonderful gift to us of Jesus Christ. We praise Your name and honor You in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.